As the coronavirus spread in the U.S., local health officials struggled to keep pace. WBUR took a closer look at one effort to try to mitigate the spread, closing schools. What we found was a system ill-equipped for a pandemic, and school leaders searching for a cohesive, clear directive from the state about the best way to respond. WBUR's Kathleen McNerney joins me now to explain. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Sharon.
Your reporting shows a lot of school leaders were seeking information about the coronavirus last month. What weren't they getting from state or federal officials?
Yeah, there were a lot of conversations, but the school superintendents that I talked to said what was concerning is they weren't getting enough detail. The guidance really in February and March was to contact your local boards of health to make any decision. And it sort of reached a faster pace after February 1st, when Massachusetts had its first confirmed case. And at that point, any guidance and recommendations were really focused on travel. And really, this is a classic kind of approach to public health management, which gives local authorities more control and more say in how to respond to their unique local situation. The problem is that in a pandemic, you can end up with a patchwork response. I spoke with Margaret Bordeaux. She's a physician and global public health researcher at the Harvard Kennedy School and Harvard Medical School. She said the school closures and stay-at-home advisories that we've all been experiencing are because of a broader failure.
That's happening because we couldn't execute on the basic public health plan. So now our only tool in our toolkit is to keep people from literally from touching each other, which is a very, very crude, blunt instrument.
So really, when I looked at school closure decisions in March, what I saw was a microcosm of what a lot of communities were experiencing and grappling with as the pace of the spread of COVID-19 kind of quickened. And there wasn't clear directive from the federal or state public health officials.
Now, Kathleen, one could, I guess, argue that local control makes sense on some level. The idea being in a lot of crisis situations, communities would know best about what they need. So why did that not work for schools?
I mean, I think we see it time and time again when there's a hurricane or something that is really localized or regionalized. The problem is with a pandemic, pandemics don't know any district boundaries. They don't follow those kinds of lines. At the same time, local boards have different levels of expertise, and we're having different opinions. As Massachusetts Association of School Superintendents Executive Director Tom Scott told me, he said there was a lot of communication with the state, but they weren't getting specific scenarios, if this, then that, until it was far too late.
But we never got those in a timely manner earlier. And I think that that created a certain amount of anxiety amongst people in terms of making decisions. And so people were kind of left decisions individually.
Every district is required by the state to have an emergency response plan. And as you can imagine, most of these really deal with safety and security concerns around school shootings, not really a pandemic, certainly nothing on this scale.
Now, on March 15th, Governor Baker did close all Massachusetts schools, and they won't open again before May 4th. So with that, what are superintendents and teachers and mayors criticizing?
Everyone was very clear with me. They don't fault the governor and certainly not the education commissioner, Jeff Riley. They feel that the Baker administration was doing the best that they could, given the uncharted waters that everyone is in. At the same time, there was a lot of confusion, and I think they just wanted detailed guidance about what to do and the best information. And there was anxiety and confusion from the federal and the state level. And that led to communities kind of taking it up on their own to share best information and try to make decisions jointly. On Thursday, March 12th at 9 a.m., a group of 130 people from 30 cities and towns in Greater Boston met in Somerville to listen to a panel of local experts to understand how this virus was spreading and what local communities should anticipate and how they could best respond. It was organized by Boston Mayor Marty Walsh and Somerville Mayor Joe Curtatone. Curtatone also chairs the Metropolitan Mayors Coalition, and he said he called for this meeting because there was a lot of frustration and what he called a whack-a-mole response, where you saw different cities and towns taking different actions.
And what they said to us to a T was startling. We didn't have weeks to act. We barely had days, and we might be too late.
So starting that night, we started to see some districts close. The following morning, Friday, March 13th, state education and public health officials had a phone call, and they said, "We are still not recommending state-level closures at this time. You should be making these decisions in consultation with your local Board of Health." What participants told me who were on that call was that there was a lot of frustration that the state wasn't mandating that all schools close yet. Here's what Revere Superintendent Diane Kelly told me.
The fact that we were still being told, "You should keep schools open. At this time, we are not recommending that schools close." You know, I felt like by that point, it was a little bit tone deaf.
You know, keep in mind, at this point, Massachusetts had declared a public health emergency. It had banned large gatherings of more than 250 people, but schools were exempt. So it was confusing for school leaders to wrap their head around. And ultimately, once they got off that call, they decided they needed to act jointly to try to stem the spread of the virus. And then, of course, it was 2 days later that Governor Baker did issue a statewide order to close all schools.
Ultimately, Kathleen, what do you think the lesson here is?
You know, hindsight is always 20/20, but everyone that I talked to said communication is key. Anytime there's a crisis, having clear information that is communicated to both the leaders and to the public is really important for making sure that everyone remains calm and focused on the tasks at hand. Trying to leave this up to local authorities who have varying levels of expertise and bandwidth to make these kinds of massively disruptive decisions just doesn't work when we're faced with something of this scale that can affect so many people.
WBUR's Kathleen McNierney, thank you.
Thank you, Sharon.
Kathleen McNierney is the editor of WBUR's Edify team. Read her detailed report on the Edify section of WBUR.org.